It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Sifting for answers through all the data.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. The Commerce Department is releasing the latest data on new home sales in the U.S. later this morning. The numbers will reflect sales for the month of November, and many economists are expecting a drop from the previous month. Jeremy Hobson reports now on how the new home sales figures stack up against other key economic indicators.
All these numbers can get confusing, so I got my computer to help me sort them out. There are jobless claims.
Up slightly. Bad.
Durable goods orders.
Up slightly but below expectations. Bad.
And consumer confidence.
Up slightly. Good.
As we look at monthly data, some always give us a positive sign, many give us a negative sign. Overall, the average is that the economy is slowing.
That's Peter Marisi, a professor at the University of Maryland's Business School. He predicted lower new home sales because there are still plenty of existing homes waiting to be sold. Until they are, he says, it'll be a ho-hum housing market. But Global Insight analyst Patrick Newport says we shouldn't give too much weight to home sales figures.
The key number that we focus on is the employment number because it's the best indicator of what's happening in the economy today.
The government releases employment numbers for December next Friday. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Yesterday's report on durable goods did a number on Wall Street. Markets also reacted to the assassination of Pakistani opposition leader Benazir Bhutto. The Dow begins the day from 13,359 after a drop of 192 points. The S&P 500 stands at 1476 after losing 21. And the NASDAQ is at 2676 after dropping 47 points yesterday. The Nikkei lost more than 1.5% today, and stocks are down across Europe this morning. Someone not letting economic worries get to him is Warren Buffett. The billionaire's company, Berkshire Hathaway, is set to open for business today a bond insurer for cities, counties, and states. The Wall Street Journal reports this is Buffett's latest move to make a profit in the midst of the credit crunch. Buffett's company is also buying the reinsurance arm of ING for $435 million.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship. Online at kauffman.org.
It seems the problems in the housing market and soaring energy costs are leaking into every industry imaginable. And of course, that drip is helping to slow down the engines of the country's already struggling automakers. 3 decades ago, the so-called Big Three controlled almost 85% of the U.S. market. But now, foreign companies like Toyota, Honda, and Nissan have about half the market. Marketplace's Elisa Roth has been following the ups and downs for GM, Ford, and Chrysler in 2007, and she's with us now for a cruise down memory lane. Elisa, I think the biggest surprise for the Big Three was the turn negotiations took this year with the UAW.
Yeah, it was funny, Renita. Going into the negotiations, everybody expected that these were going to be kind of the warm, fuzzy negotiations, the idea being that the auto workers can't afford for the Big Three to go bankrupt, so they would be a little easier on the negotiations. The Big Three couldn't afford for the workers to strike because that could push them into bankruptcy, so that was all supposed to be one big happy discussion. And what we got instead were two strikes.
Yeah, I guess people don't stay warm and fuzzy for too long when it comes to the issue of paying for health care.
That's very true. The health care costs for the big three were astonishingly big. So they came up with the solution, the Voluntary Employee Benefit Association, or VEBA, and that's essentially a trust fund that each of the car makers set up. They put money into it, and then the UAW takes responsibility for it. It used to cost GM $25 more a car than its foreign competitors, so the Hondas and the Toyotas, because of its health costs. And with this VEBA, that gap is going to be only $15.
Wages were a big issue during the negotiations as well. What happened on that note?
They basically agreed that new workers coming in will have lower wages than the existing workers. Current workers had really fought hard against this because I think there was a sense that there needed to be some solidarity and they needed to make sure that the new guys coming on would be paid reasonably well, but there was just no way that the car makers could keep up the same wages.
And in this dramatic year, there was also a divorce between two big names.
Yes, the Daimler-Chrysler have split up, and more interesting than the name change is the fact that Chrysler was bought by a private equity firm. So for the first time in decades, the big three aren't all public companies. We saw a little taste of what this might mean during the negotiations. I think that the owners of Chrysler played a little bit more hardball than anybody had expected.
So looking ahead to the new year, I suppose the energy bill that would require car makers to build cars and trucks that would get 35 miles per gallon of gasoline by 2020, that's going to be the big thing. Any predictions there, Elisa?
I think that the big three are just going to have to figure out how to make more fuel-efficient cars. I think that consumers have already shown that they're not as interested in gas guzzlers like SUVs or big trucks, and that if the car makers want to sell to American buyers, they're going to have to find a way to make cars that use less fuel.
Marketplace's Elisa Roth covered the auto industry in 2007 and joined us to talk about what happened this past year. Thanks so much, Elisa.
You're welcome.
Japan is not only a player in the car industry, but in fashion, too. Hello Kitty is about to say hello, boys. The cuddly white Japanese character is printed on toys, clothes, and jewelry for girls and young women. But Hello Kitty is coming out with a feline for men line. On sale in Japan next month and pouncing in the U.S. soon after. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Here is to the end of the week.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.